Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Just want to say just thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity just to share the word with you. So I pray that everything has gone in your favor today, that God has blessed you with his favor, and that you were able to receive the favors from God today. Regardless of the good and the bad, know that through that, if you keep looking, keep searching, you will see it could have been so much worse. God's favors is still over you. God's favors is still protecting you. God's love is still dwelling in you, through you. And will you allow that favor to spread and just share out of every pore of your body that someone else may receive it? The goodness of God is a very important thing for each and every person to see. And somebody may not see that goodness of God today, and they're looking at you and they're speaking to you. Will you be that one? Will you stand forth and be the one that shows the goodness of God today? The goodness of God. Every now and then, we should just stop everything we're doing and just give thanks unto the Lord and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but things didn't go like I wanted it to go today. But just thank you, Jesus, because he knows the plans that he has for you, and they are to prosper you. They're not to harm you. And sometimes him saying no is to protect you. It's not to hurt you. Sometimes he's not saying no. He's just not. He's saying not right now. So we need to be in thanks for all things, because he knows what's ahead of us. So if we just stay in the thanksgiving mode, hallelujah, just giving him praise and thanking him, knowing that he knows the beginning and the ending of our lives, knowing that he is the author and the finisher of our life, knowing that he will withhold no good thing from us, knowing that he's always available to us. I invite you right now to open up your heart. I invite you right now to invite the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you right now and come and experience the presence of the Lord. Come and experience the peace of the Lord. Right in the midst of that turmoil right now, come and experience his peace. Come and experience his comfort. I know you've been going around comforting everyone all day long. I know you're the one, sister, right there. You're right there. I know you've been going around and you've been helping and helping and helping. Who helps you? Who helps you? God has your back. And he wants to wrap his comforting, loving arms around you right now. You haven't shared with anybody, brother, of all the things that's going on in the inside of your house. You haven't shared with anybody about the things that's on your job. You got a smile on your face, but you're so torn up on the inside. And you need to be loved on. And God is waiting patiently. Oh, he has his arms extended, and he's wanting to just wrap that comfort around you. You're trying so hard to work it out on your own, to figure this thing out on your own. But God said, it is through me that your answers lie. He said, it's in me where you're going to find your peace. My sister, he said, it's through me. You got to seek me while you can, and you will find me. It's only through me where you're going to find that husband that you're so desperately looking for. You're looking up the way and down the road. You've been on every alley and every street corner you can find. But he said, it's just in me that you're going to find that mate. And you're just spinning wheels. You're just like a spinning wheel just going around and around. Your head hurts all the time. You're not sleeping well. You feel like nothing is going wrong, right with you. Everything is going wrong. And then there's someone else that feels like that their body is just in pain. You said, I have the marriage. I have the finances. I from the outside, it looks like it's looking good. But I can't sleep. My body seems to just be breaking down. Every day is something else different, because you can't fill that void with cars. You can't fill that void with your spouse. You can't fill that void even with your kids. I don't care what job or position that you have, you can't fill that void. See, Jesus created you. God is your Father. And will you invite Jesus to be your Lord? Your Lord and your Savior? That fills that void. He fills it up with the things that only you need. He thinks he's the only one that can do it with the things that you need. And then all of those other things that you have acquired are just things that have been acquired that he's just been so generously to you to give. But he wants to give you something that will blow your mind, that will set your spirit on fire. I invite you to open up and receive today. Today is a receiving day. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and I just come with thanksgiving in my heart today. I just want to thank God just for being who he is. I thank God just for loving me. I thank God for protecting me. I thank God for the support group and all of the loved ones that he has placed love all around me. I just thank God. And I just thank you, Jesus, for each and every member of the support group that meets on Monday nights, for Patricia and for Michelle, for Erica, for Christina, for John Michael, for Lameka, for Tatiana, for myself. I thank you for being in the midst of it, and I thank for your thank you, Jesus, that you never ever leave us, and you just bring your brightness all around us. And I just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for another day and another opportunity to just share your word. We ask, dear Father, that you accept our invitation to come and dwell within this ministry. Dear Father, open our mouths, dear Father, where we may speak your words. Open our eyes, dear Father, we may see something differently that we did not see before the word. Dear Father, open our hearts to receive your word. Dear Father, open our minds to believe and hold on to the word. Open our ears that we may hear your word in a way that we've never heard it before. Regardless of how many times we may have heard the verses, that now we hear the words. Dear Father, we ask you to bless each and every person in the archives that are live and all ministers and teachers and leaders that are truly doing your work. Dear Father, no shape, form, or fashion, but in their hearts that are doing your work. We'll give you all the praise and the love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you all. God bless you. Our scripture is coming from the book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah, starting at verse 43. Again, it's Isaiah, verse 43. And it's one of my favorite verses. I know that I say that a lot because the word of God is a favorite thing of mine. And you, the more you read, the more you're like, that is me. That applies to me. Hallelujah. And they just all kind of become your favorites. This is truly one of my favorites. Let's read together. Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. And he says, fear not. Now let's read the word. As we read through the word, I just invite you to apply these words to you. Because the Bible is purpose for you. Its purpose is for me. Its purpose is to apply to your life and my life. So we should get personal when we read the word. So let's get personal, shall we? It says, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Now, I don't care where you're at right now, and I don't care what you're doing. Hear the word of the Lord. Apply the word of the Lord to your life. It said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? He says, because I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just look at that for a minute. What is the word actually telling you? It's telling you, mother, that's not for sure how you're going to feed your children tomorrow. It's telling you that it feels like that you're in the flames right now. It's telling you, father, who's got that big secret that's just about to be exposed to the world, to your family, and you don't know how. You're trying to keep this thing pushed down and locked behind closed doors, but every time you press down in one area, someone else is speaking about it over here, and you can't seem to contain it. But God said, reminds you, they can only tell it once. And when you pass through the waters, he said, I still will be with you. Because, see, I know God sees your heart. And I'm talking to somebody right now who has repented and has been set free and forgiven by God. He sees your heart. But now the world is getting a hold of this thing. And you're trying your best to hide it. But you know what? That's just a testimony. And what God has bought out, he will cover. He will carry you through it. He's just letting you know that when you pass through the waters, I need to remind you, brother, that you're just going through. I need to remind you, sisters, that when the flames, they will not set you ablaze. You're just walking through the fire. That means it's going to get mighty hot in some situations in our lives. People may die. People are going to die in our lives. Jobs will be lost. But God said, you're still just going through. He doesn't tell us how long you're going to stay in that heat. But he just comes to remind us that you're just going through. You're just walking through the fire. Don't stop walking. That's why we need each other. We need to be here and pray for each other, lift each other up. Don't stop walking through that fire. Don't you stop swimming. Don't stop pedaling. Even though the waters may rise, he comes to remind you that you're going to pass through there. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, you say it's getting deeper and it's getting deeper. It was started out just a little bit. Now it's getting deeper and it's getting deeper. And you said, how can I stop it? I don't know what to do. You said, everybody in my family is hurting right now, and I don't know how to give them comfort. What can I do? When you pass through, it was just like an example was given sometimes on this Christian walk. It's just like a bow and arrow. When you're doing the archery and that bow, you pull back on that bow and you pull and you pull and you pull. And it gets tighter and it gets tighter and you feel like you can't breathe. And they're pulling back farther and farther and they're stretching you more. And you've turned the left cheek and you've turned the right cheek. You try to go around and out of their way and they're still there facing you. You feel like you can't be pulled anymore. But God is still there. And it's he who's taking the stretch now. It's not you anymore. He's allowing it to be stretched because he has the future plan for you. And all of those things in the darkness must be brought out to the light. Now, he knows the time. And so if this is your time, he needs that behind you. Because once he lets that arrow go, all the negativity that is in your pathway is going to be shot down. They're not going to be able to stop you. You're going to be able to go farther than you ever have went before, more than your eyes could ever imagine to see. Your feet is going to step on places that you never would think you would ever step. Foot in land, territories, cities, countries, all because you have a word in your mouth that God wants to get out. And he's got to get all of this stuff up out of you, all of this stuff, these hidden secrets, these passageways that you got hidden inside of you and your heart in so many different places. He's got to cleanse your spirit because he can't have a dirty vessel out there speaking his word. That's what happens so many times. Don't worry because you've been pushed right now. Don't worry because the bottom seems to be falling out of it right now. That's okay. God is a hand up under your foundation, and he's holding you. And even though you're shifting, you will not fall. Even though you're wobbling, you will not fail. If you just hold on to his word, he has a gift that he's given to you. But you can only receive that gift if you're standing in the right direction, in the right way. And that's on his word. That's allowing his words to be a light unto your footsteps. He will lead you to him. He will lead you out of that water. He will lead you away from those rivers. He will lead you through that fire. Because he can do it. So we should thank God. Thank God that you got that job, you said, but it's just a job here at the local fast food joint. Thank God. Somebody else was praying for that job. Thank God. You said, but I'm not pleased at the way I work. They do some things that are not right, but thank God you were able to pay a bill today. You said, but all of my check goes to bills. Thank God you were able to pay your bills today. You were able to allow yourself to just get up and be a part of a working society, to make a difference in this world. And we should thank God. We've got to learn, my sisters and brothers, not to take the small things for granted. We've got to learn, my sisters and brothers, how to give thanks. We've got to learn that when we wake up in the morning, oh my goodness, we wake up complaining, oh, I'm late, and oh, you didn't eat your cereal on time, and oh, you didn't do this. You know what? We got to stop wasting energy on projects that don't work. Stop wasting our energy. We could be giving God praise. Why would you want to start your day off like that? I challenge you to start a new day. Start your night right now before you go to bed. By saying, thank you, Jesus. Forget about all the negative things that has happened tonight. Forget about how you're going to make it work on tomorrow. Forget about all the things that you got to worry about throughout the night. Drop it. Let it go. Give it up. Turn it over to God and leave it there. The enemy's going to try to bring it back to your mind over and over and over again. But stand strong. Stand firm. Know that I'm here praying with you. Sisters and brothers all around the world is ready. God has somebody right where you need them to be, in your corner, praying for you. I invite you to contact me. Again, I am Evangelist Von Dumas. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio. You know, someone asks us, well, why is it that, you know, I just think you should just, so many different people are doing so many things and they're all claiming behind the word of God, but they got so many stipulations on it. You know, if you're not my denomination, then, you know, then, okay, well, maybe you need to go over here for prayer. You know, God is a God. He's a big God. And we need to take him out of the box. It's more than a denomination. This thing is about one loving God, one God, one loving God, one God that we should have fear in our hearts for, one God that we should be united together. We're all sisters and brothers. He's our Father. Regardless of our race, regardless of our backgrounds, We all have somewhere to go. And I'm preparing myself. Are you prepared to go? Now move your titles away. They can't go with you. Move all the things that you think you have accomplished here. All the things that you brag about that you're doing. Or you look what I did now. Move all of that away. All of those are good things. Don't get me wrong. But move that aside for a minute. When you move off all the accolades and all of the ones that are praising you, when they're all gone and it's just you, and you're standing before your Father, and I don't even know in the presence of the Lord what we're going to be able to do. Will we ever be able to get up off of our knees from just gratefulness and thanksgiving? But it's just you and He. And there's no, you know, He won't even have to ask you. Everything about your life will just be revealed. That's the person. That's the person that I'm trying to get you to work on. The person that's going to stand before Christ. Not the one that's standing here before a man and we can put on all kind of fancy acts and we can do all kind of different things. But a lot of the times we're just wasting energy on projects that doesn't work. But God has you as a project. And He says you will lack no good thing as long as you stay with Him. As long as you're in thanksgiving with Him. Whatever you do, it must be more than just a good idea. It must be a God idea. Have you taken up on a God idea today? How many times do you sit under someone who's telling you about all of the things of how to do this and how to do that, but they're not telling you how to praise God? They're not telling you how to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. A good idea is a 50-50 proposition. In other words, it may be a good idea to you and no one else. But see, if a God idea is one that you conducted yourself, that He's gave to you personally, then, you know, after you consult the Lord about it, forget about whatever anyone else says. Forget about it and go straight ahead and do what God has for you. That's the kind of idea that will create energy. That's the kind of idea that will cause creativity. It'll get you all worked up and get you start flowing, and others, even in sinners, will see you're flowing. It's something that's going on in your life that is God-led, and that project will work. That's the one that produces energy. Hallelujah. In Psalms 34 and 10, it tells us, the young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Again, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Hallelujah. And many of us have proven that many times over and over, just in the ministries, in our lives. You see, I realized a long time ago that I would not waste any more energy. I would not waste any more zeal on something that God has said not to do. Hanging around with people that God said don't hang with anymore. And some of the people I actually had to go through a little process because I missed their company for whatever reason. All of those relationships wasn't that, you know, something bad in my life. It was just a time that God said, separate. It's time for you to move on to something else. Separate yourself from them. And a lot of those people I left on good terms. We parted in good terms, but it was just time to go our separate ways. And it's good to see different people still good, doing good, still living a good life, not a materialistic life. That's just something that comes. But living a good-hearted life. Hallelujah. when you support God, when you support God's people, when you support God's work, when you're praying for your preacher, when you're praying for your leaders, when you're praying for your teachers at your children's schools, you're obeying God's voice. Your seed is too precious to be wasted. See, at this ministry, we know that you work hard for what you get. And we don't want to take your gift lightly. We pray for you to be blessed and to have every good thing that is in your heart. It's in our prayers that every seed that you sow will produce a harvest. You got to sow your seed in good ground. Be thankful. May it produce a harvest that blesses your family. May it produce a harvest that gets you going, gets you energy, your energy juices flowing to get those created activities in your mind flowing to go out and do the things that use the talents that God has given to you. It gets you going, and if it gets you going, it'll get you growing. If it gets you growing, you'll touch somebody else, and you'll set them on fire, and you'll get them going, and they'll start to grow to reach more and more people. Because that's just the way God works. Every gift that he's given to you, he wants you to magnify on it. Use it, push it, stretch it, and touch all around you. Nobody cares how big you are and how many degrees you have if you can't reach down over that wall and pull somebody else up. No one cares how fast you climb the wall. You can climb up that wall and get up. But if you don't have nobody beside you that cares about you, no one can give a good word to you, you're not going to find that happiness. You can open up business after business after business after business, and no one's going to prosper from any of them. No one's going to get anything out of any of it. You've got to have God centered first. You said, but I'm doing it in the name of the Father. I'm doing it in the name of the Father. Sometimes we do things that we think that we should be doing, but we haven't consulted God first. We haven't went to the Father with it first. He wants us to go to the right, and we're turning to the left. And we're convincing ourselves that this is in the right direction. But I thank God for direction. I thank God for directions in my life, in your life. I thank God for prosperity comes through his directions. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. When we look at the Tower of Babel, it just reminds me, of course, people can drum up their own energy and they can get a lot of stuff done. But it won't last. In fact, God himself will sometimes intervene to make sure that it doesn't last. The Tower of Babel is a good example of that. As you read the story, and it's in Genesis 11, you see that it happened after the flood of Noah. People were united about that tower. They wanted longevity to make a name for themselves and show the world what they could do. In fact, it seemed like that all of mankind just suddenly had this imminent feeling that the secret to success was forced unity. And they were right. Even God acknowledged that they had the power to succeed. But what was wrong with their tower idea? It wasn't a God idea. That's what was wrong with it. They had unity, so they had the power, but it wasn't a God idea. And that's the way a lot of us are. We get wrapped up into getting this and getting that and broadcasting this and broadcasting that. Going here and going there, and we haven't really went anywhere because it's not a God idea. That's all. They've already forgotten the lesson from the flood. This was after the flood. And they've already forgotten the lesson of the flood.
that when you put yourself ahead of God, trouble is coming to you. Trouble will come knocking on your door. Trouble is going to come. When you put yourself ahead of God, trouble is going to come. In Genesis 11 and 4, they said, let us make us a name, lest we be shattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Notice something. Notice that they had an idea, but they didn't pray about it. They didn't ask God what he thought of their idea. They figured that if they could just do it by themselves, so they began to try. Figured, well, it's enough of us to do it. We don't have to talk to God about it. You see, that's the problem with a good idea instead of a God idea. I don't care who you got working on your team. I don't care how many people you got working on your team. I don't care how many advertisements you got. I don't care how many TV shows you got. I don't care how many blog talk radio shows you got. If it's not a God idea, it's not going to prosper. If it's not a God idea, it's going to be all about you. And I come to tell you, you may be high on the horse today, and you may seem like that the world is loving you today. But if it's not a God idea, just as quick as they loved you, it's just as quick as they will curse you. Because they're going to get tired of you. They're going to finally figure out, who does she think she is? Just who does he think he is? Why is it that he is doing this here? They're going to find something of fault about you, and they're not going to like you as much as they thought. Hallelujah. They're not going to like you as much as they thought. So I invite you to remind you, be thankful. Be thankful for all of the small things. Be thankful, dear Father, that when you look and you can see your children. My fathers, be thankful for your kids. Be thankful for another day, mothers, when you can come in and you can see that your family has made it home, all back in one piece. Everybody's in good strength and health. Be thankful, my mothers. My fathers, be thankful so that you can provide for your families another day, regardless of how hard you've had to work for it. Or you may think that this is meager incomes. If it's an honest job, it's income. Continue to do your best at it. Work your hardest. And continue to pray. Continue to pray. Ask God to lead you to the next place. Don't get stuck where you're at. And don't believe that God wants you to stay there. Continue to look and ask and pray. Keep your eyes open and just live with the spirit of expectancy. Say, I'm looking for America. Hallelujah. I expect the impossible. We all got to get that back in our spirits. You got to start expecting the impossible. You got to stop speaking negative words over your situation, over your family. You know that teacher's just mean to you, and that teacher's never going to change. And that, I can't wait till this school year is over because you're never going to get along with that teacher. Who are you? Come on now. My sisters, my brothers, my mothers, my fathers, come on. But we say that we love the Lord. We say that we are an example, that we want to be an example to the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We got to speak things into existence. You got to have that faith to know. Just hold on. Pray for the ones that are against you. What direction it is that you need to be taken. How that you can, your child, you and your child can build that relationship with that staff at your schools. Not just your child. It's got to be you and your child. Hallelujah. We've got to get ourselves in a way that we're always using good energy to do great things with what God has given us. It's not the ideas. It's just that we're not taking them before God. He can't get the kinks out of it. He can't shake the wrinkles out of it. Hallelujah. We need to notice that at all times. The minute you cut God out, you begin to lose energy and zeal. The favor from God begins to cease, and then all obstacles begin to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you're ready to move yourself out of this world. You're trying to find the quickest way out of here that you can. Because the favor from God begins to cease, and you start to even disappoint yourself. And all the obstacles in your life, at first you said it was just little small things and you didn't even pay it any attention. You said, that won't get me down. I'm bigger than that. And now those same little obstacles are so big in your life that you're trying to do anything you can to get out of here. Always consult God first. John 10:4-5, in our closing, it tells us that his sheep, that's us, it says his sheep know his voice, and a stranger will not follow. Again, his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That applies to you and I. That applies to you and I. Again, that is John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. You got to get more familiar with the Lord so that you will know his voice and that you won't follow every stranger that comes by. A kid can be barely walking, but they know your voice. And you can let them walk, and many strangers can pass by, may even call their name. But when you move, that child is going to start walking behind you. When you call them, they're going to respond because they know your voice. And they're not just going to up and follow a stranger over your voice. And we are have to be the same way. That is exactly what our Father is waiting for us to do, to respond to his voice. Whether it's your idea or God's idea, to respond to his voice so we can stop following behind every strange thing that comes around, every new hit and wonder that shows up on the TV. We're spending all of our hard-earned money buying these gadgets and different things, and this is just going to be the things that bring it out. And we're getting into this new dating scene, and this is where I'm going to find that husband. I'm going to lay down everything, and this is the job I'm going to do. Just following behind strangers. If you get an idea and you think it's a good one, consult the Lord about it. If it's that good of an idea, consult the Lord about it. And then recognize his authority. And then let God speak first concerning your future. And then you should speak second. So again, consult the Lord about it. Recognize that he is the one that's in authority. So recognize his authority. And let God speak first concerning your future. And then you speak second. A good idea may come from him. He may have dropped it into your spirit. If so, then let him speak to you about it more. Consult him. Never just charge your head without his approval in prayer. I've seen people waste their lives on things that God never told them to do. If you spiritually drain yourself, you open yourself up to failure. From that failure, fear is produced. And fear will inhibit you from succeeding in life. You said, what is fear? Fear is just a lack of spiritual strength. False evidence appearing real. It's just a lack of spiritual strength. You're just tired. You don't want to fail anymore. You're afraid of failing now. You get a fear of rejection. You don't want to be rejected anymore. You're just out of strength. A lack of spiritual strength. You may have a good idea, but again, I ask you, is it a God idea? Hallelujah. When I started my ministry, I made up my mind that no matter how good something sounded, I would go to God for directions. And I've looked around and I've saw a lot of the ones that started with me have did different things and did gone in many different ways. And so I just thank God for their progress. But I made up my mind a long time ago that I would go to God for directions. And this ministry has never had some of the problems that I see some of the other people having. I'm very proud of that. And it's not because I'm so good or not because what I do. Because I'm pretty low-key. I get around in a lot of areas because God sends me there. But it's because I've been obedient and seeking the directions of the Lord. It's because I remember the verse that we read earlier in Psalms 34 and 10. I remember when it says that the young lions do lack and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. As you go through life, what God has for you, remember, it's for you. It's for you. You don't have to try to get him to help him with it. He knows what he has for you. I invite you now, if you don't know the Lord, to come and just join and be a part of the Christian life. Come and fill that void like only God can, just by repeating the words after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I want to give my life to you. I believe that you gave your son and he died on the cross for me. Thank you, God, for loving me enough to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you. We love you. See you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.